anybody know what that bird has been value, what its value is? What is it that we've aligned to it? Does anybody know? No, that's okay. It's practicing kindness. So that's the value that's attached to the pea waka waka. So I don't know much about pea waka wakas. I've never actually interviewed one. Haven't got the inside information. But I've seen them in action. I live up close to Pukeiti, where we've got plenty of bush. They're the most welcoming little bird. They flit ahead of you. They land in the tree and they wait for you to catch up, and they keep going a little bit further ahead of you. And they're very fun to watch. Has anybody ever had one visit their home, inside their home? Because they love to do that too. And I remember probably about a year ago, Paul and Tracy, my son and daughter-in-law, were away. And one decided he would, I don't know whether it was a he, but anyway, it came into my home. And I love birds, but I'm slightly freaked out when they're in my space, you know. Right? So I'm encouraging this bird to leave by opening all the windows, the doors, shutting off the bedroom doors because I don't want them in the bedroom. And just, you know, like trying to sort of create this get out of here mode. And probably about 35 minutes later, this little pea waka waka left. And I'm exhausted because I was just, you know, that whole thing of I just don't like them in my space. But I love being in the forest with them. Our property's called The Forest. I love being in the forest with them, the way they flit around. And they do that because apparently we stir up the insects. We don't know that, but we stir them up and they feast on insects. That's their diet. So practicing kindness. And under those values, you know how I said we give it one heading and under it some other values. Under that are things like peace, grace, warmth, compassion, warm-heartedness, love, self-control, and patience. So when we say practicing, that's not us practicing until we get it right. But you can do that, you know, if you want to practice till you get it right. But it really means that we're practicing is actively pursuing or engaging in a way of life. That's that word intentional, really, to be intentional about being kind. You know, the pea waka waka is about 15 centimetres in length, and half of that length is its tail. So a tiny little bird weighs around about 8 ounces. So that's about, teaspoon and a half of something. It's not much, you know, the weight of it. It's a tiny little thing. And I love that is, we've used that as expressing kindness because, you know, it can be just the tiny little thing that you do or that you say. Or that you be. So when you think of kindness, it doesn't have to be this great big showy thing. It can be just this tiny little thing. It can be a word. Just a word at the right time is just such life-giving to us, isn't it? So don't think about your head, oh, well, we've got the smallest bird. Actually, the smallest bird can make a big difference, you know. And so the smallest bit of kindness in us can make such a big difference. I remember being away at a camp and a friend, this pea waka waka flew in and landed on her daughter's head, and the little girl was she probably didn't even feel it. It's such a tiny little thing, but the mother was sort of, you know, a bit freaky out. So if Bernie, you could put that picture up, I'm sure this has been shown here before when Beth spoke about the pea waka waka. So I'm going to explain this picture if you haven't seen it before. In 2019, there were more than 30 pea waka wakas in the Mackenzie Basin that had escaped a hoarfrost and took refuge from the cold in the farmer's workshop where the farmer had a fire going. The outside temperature was -8 degrees Celsius. It's that kind of frost that just looks like really, you know, not icicles, but like really fluffy feather type things. Has anybody actually been in a frost like that? I haven't. I've had seen some fairly heavy frosts, but they call it a hoarfrost. So these birds were seen resting on a wire. So there's a wire there, and these are the pea waka wakas. So I don't know whether you can see that very well, but anyway, they're resting on that wire, and it was reported that the birds were taking turns moving on the wire. So where would be the warmest place, do you think? In the middle. And what was observed was that these birds on the outer would come in and the ones on the outside, on the inner, would go out. So they were, do you think that they wanted to be on the outside? Probably not. I'm thinking if it's cold, it's colder on the outside. You haven't got, maybe the one right at the end hadn't got anybody right next to them. It's cold. But they were doing that, and it was not, they weren't being taught to do it. There was nobody standing saying, get over there, it's your turn. It's not like animals being trained to do anything. These birds were instinctively looking after one another. Isn't that cool? It's such a cool picture of compassion and kindness. So I love that. About half of them actually died, even though they'd been in this environment. The farmer had been putting down popcorn and birds, trays of seed, but these birds actually eat insects, and so they didn't have their diet, and this went on for a few days. But that was just a picture, just really to express, you know, kindness, and kindness doesn't always, it's not always comfortable. You think, well, we're joyful, loving people all the time, every moment of every day. I'll talk to you later about me. So just a couple of scriptures that I want to look at in regarding kindness. And I'm going to go to Ephesians 2. I think that Bernie's putting it up there. Ephesians 2. So just looking really at the God's kindness to us. I'll just turn and talk. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So, you know, that I'm only here today because of God's kindness, God's goodness, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. And I acknowledge that. And it's like the whole picture is really just illustrates God's kindness, his goodness. Hey, I didn't even deserve any of that, but he gave it anyway. And I love that where it talks about the visible. I'm sure that's in that version, isn't it? I'm a passion translation lover, but I love all the Word of God. But it talks about being the visible display. That we are the visible display. We're the ones that show the love of God. That's what the kingdom of God's about, isn't it? That we are his messengers. We are the one that he lands his favour on, that we can express that to the world. It's not for me to keep, it's not for me to hide, it's for me to live a life that's about him. In Titus 3, verses 4 to 5, but when the kindness and the love of God our Saviour towards man appeared, not by the works of righteousness that we have done. Tell you what I think about when I got myself saved, you know, got saved, and I thought there was nothing about me that had that, you know, there was nothing about me that had any sense of righteousness that I could have come to God. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but his kindness, it's his goodness and his kindness that leads us to repentance. It says, but according to his mercy, he will save us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour. It's not what we've deserved, but it's characteristic, isn't it, of who God is. I don't deserve his forgiveness. I don't deserve the kindness of God, but he pours it out anyway. I just thought we would be good to look at a couple of New Testament scriptures that I think that there was kindness shown. It's like the people of God were able to express kindness. So we can talk about God's kindness, but I'd like us to look at just a couple of things. about how Acts 2:44. Thank you. About how we can be those people that have kindness and show kindness. And it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing. In Acts 2:44, all the believers were in fellowship as one body. So this is after they'd got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they, you know, there'd been some amazing things happening here, but they were all in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. Kindness expressed in their sharing of what they had with one another. Acts 4. Verse 7. Here we've got Peter and John arrested. You know, if you don't know the book of Acts, I'd really encourage you to read it. It's amazing and it's challenging. But in Acts 4 verse 7, it says, they made Peter and John stand in front of the council as they questioned them, saying, tell us by what power and authority that you have done these things. Now this is in relation to that Peter and John were going into the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And as they went in, they saw this crippled man. And they stopped. So we had that healing. We talk about it. It's a healing that happened outside the temple. And the beggar's laying there. And I love how in verse 2, as they came to the entrance called the Beautiful Gate, they were captured by the sight of a man crippled from birth being carried and placed at the entrance to the temple. And when he noticed Peter and John going into the temple, he begged them for money. And Peter and John, looking straight into the eyes of the crippled man, said, look at us. Expecting a gift, he readily gave them his attention. But Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand and he got up and he walked and he was very joyful. So moving on from there, sorry, I think I just jumped ahead on that scripture, but moving on from there, where they were now back before the court in Acts 4, like they'd been called in and charged. And Peter says to them, it says in verse 8 of chapter 4, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered, respected and elders and leaders of the people, listen, are we being put on trial today for doing an act of kindness by healing a frail, crippled man? Well then, you and everyone else in Israel should know that it is by the power of the name of Jesus that the crippled man stands here today completely healed. So at one moment he's saying, hey, we did a kindness, we did an act, but it was God. It was God that did the healing. And I love that because I think sometimes we think kindness can be just something that we just do and move on in that. But sometimes that in our kindness, it actually helps that person move on. It actually changes things for that person, maybe bigger than you'd ever think. You just say, oh, that wasn't much. I didn't actually do much. But actually, maybe your word of kindness broke through where nobody else had been able to. Maybe something that you'd done just displayed to someone the absolute kindness of God, the goodness of God, in a way that you might have thought, well, that's just something that we do. But actually, it speaks God to someone. I know I got widowed 23 years ago, and this church was so kind to me at that time, amazingly kind. I was a nursing student. I had no income. My husband died. And this church was just amazing. My husband wanted me to keep on my training, but I didn't want to leave him. And the kindness of woman in this church that made his lunch and took it to him and sat with him every day made a difference to him, but oh, it made such a difference to me. You know, it was amazing. And you think, oh, that didn't take much to make someone's lunch. I tell you what, the legacy that that has left in my life is phenomenal, really, because it's changed the way I thought about what kindness can do. It might have seemed like, and I'd say to them, you know, ones like Sharon, you know, faithful people who were meeting a need so that I could do what I needed to do. And I didn't want to do what I was doing. My husband said to me, whatever happens, you will be a nurse. And, you know, that's kindness of people that kept me in that place, because it would not have been my desire to do that. And then, you know, things like the cost of funerals and just the stuff that happened just absolutely demonstrated to me, not just love from people, but the love of God, the kindness of God. He is so kind. And I've never forgotten that. And I really hope I do think it shaped me in a way that I would never have been shaped any other way. And that's God's kindness. My kids didn't feel like it was kind. You know, that their dad had gone. But, you know, in it, God showed himself kind. We know that the fruit of the Spirit, we've sung about that this morning, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sometimes we need a bit more of the self-control to be showing kindness, you know. It's like I can think of lots of examples in my life where, you know, if I hadn't actually said, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? It would be easier to have walked away. I'm no way near am I perfect, but I'm a work in progress. I love, and I just want, I'm probably not going to turn to this, but I just talk into it. Acts 16, you will know this, about Paul and Silas. And they'd been imprisoned, and they'd been beaten. They'd been beaten quite severely, and they'd been imprisoned, and they'd been put into the innermost part of the prison, or some versions would say the locks. They'd been, you know, the jailer had put them into, you know, they were locked up. They were not able to just leave. That wasn't just a door. They were actually very secure in the prison. And Paul and Silas, being the incredible men of the Spirit, they were praying and worshipping God at midnight. And then when they did that, they said, and I love this, that all the prisoners were listening to them. You know, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, I wonder if part of them were like, well, we're just going to look after them too, you know, just that whole thing of we're going to worship God, but it influenced others. And they prayed, and there was this big earthquake. And I'm not fond of earthquakes, but all the doors opened. So it was quite a big one. And the jailer, who'd been asleep, and I don't know whether he was meant to be asleep, but anyway, he woke up, and he just saw what happened. All these doors had opened. And he was just like, oh, my gosh, they've all left. And so what did he try and do? He was going to kill himself. He got out his sword. He's going to kill himself. Like, I can't face the authorities with this one. And Paul calls out and says to him, don't harm yourself. I mean, it's midnight, it's dark. I don't even know how he saw that. But, you know, it's like, don't kill yourself, we're all here. Nobody had moved, nobody had left. And the jailer goes into them and then sees that they are there. And his immediate reaction is, what did I do to be saved? I mean, he is bowled over, isn't he? It's like this incredible earthquake. None of these men who probably would have normally run out were just at the waiting. And he says, you know, he's going to kill himself. And Paul encourages him not to do that. Put it down, you know, we're all here. And I love then he says, what can I do to be saved? And then he tends to their wounds. It says that he washed their wounds. He didn't do that when he threw them in the jail. You know, you're in there, you're locked away, don't really care very much, I'm going to have a sleep. But this earthquake happened, he says, what can I do to be saved? He gets saved, and straight away, oh, he's kind. You know, I love that, he's kind. Nobody sat him down and gave him a Bible lesson on kindness. The Spirit of God entered him, and he was kind. Don't you love that? And then his family, and they prepared him a meal. They fed them a midnight meal, really. And then it said that they were filled with joy and their newfound faith in God. Well, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, this was real. This new convert, no education, no, you know, hadn't had any kind of real discipleship. He just knew to respond in a kind way, and I love that. So how much more should we? Colossians 3, Benny, if we could go to that. Have you got that in the Passion Translation there? Okay, the New International then. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. When I read that, the word that jumped out at me was clothe yourself. Now, I don't know how, I can't really do this, but I'm just thinking, clothe yourself. This is my jacket. I just took it off. I was at a prayer meeting the other morning, actually, and somebody was trying to assist me into my jacket. Do you know what? I just couldn't cope. Haven't had a bloke help me into a jacket for a long time. And I just was like, oh, what do you do? How do you do this? You know, it was weird. But, you know, when it says clothe yourself, if I just put that there and say, oh, I want my jacket on, you know, it's not happening, is it? I actually have to do something. I actually have to do something. So I'm actually too hot to put it on. But the point is that clothing, you have to actively do something. I never get up in the morning and my slippers just appear on my feet. I have to put them on. There's action. There's some effort. And sometimes being kind is a bit of an effort. And we have to be intentional about it. I was with some girls on Friday for a coffee catch up, and I said, oh, you know, what's kindness mean to you? And for the most part, they just say, well, treat someone how you'd like to be treated. And that's nice, but I think it's bigger than that too. You know, like it's actually thinking about how I can be kind. It's actively thinking, what can I do that will be kind? Not just, you know, oh, if that was me in that situation, I'd want somebody to do something about it. But actually looking for opportunities to show the kindness of God. Proverbs 21:21, don't worry about any more scriptures, it's okay. Whoever pursues righteousness and God and kindness will find life, righteousness and honour. So it's good, isn't it, to be intentional about these things. This is a quality of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within me. I just need to let him out. Just need to let him out. And I have to be intentional about that. It's like if I'm standing out there at the door and you were at the other side of the door, I have to be intentional about unlocking the door and letting you in. And it's like we have to be like that with the Spirit of God, I think. We have to be intentional about allowing him out. I came across this quote the other day and I thought this was really good. So if you think about a pause, what's a pause, you know? To think, oh, stop and think. The pause is an opportunity to reflect, especially during moments of tension. You know, you have a moment. I know as a nurse, you know, something is happening. You kind of have to go, what's the most important thing here? You'd have to do that in your situation, I'm sure, Blake. You know, we like something's going down and you think, what do I have to do here right now? So the pause is an opportunity to reflect, especially during moments of tension, so that you can pivot towards kindness and compassion rather than criticism. And I think that that's so true, that, you know, you actually have a time to go, what's kindness in this situation and what is not? And we have an opportunity then to act on that. Something that we were going to do, and I think we're probably going to run out of time, but I just want us to think about us as a church, as City Life, currently, how do we embody arahati, which is kindness? How do we embody that? How do we display that? How do we show that? What do we know about the kindness to each other, unbelievers, our community, our nation, and mission? So I'm going to just start that with saying, I think one of the things that we do well here in this house for kindness, and this will come under other values too, but for kindness, I think that one of the things that we do and we've done really well for a long time is Supper at Six. That's kindness to our community. Would you agree with that? Is there anything that springs to your mind that you think, okay, this is kind to do that? It expresses kindness either within the church or outside of the doors of the church. There are other things. There's lots of other things. Anybody think of something? Don't let me do all the talking. Absolutely, that's good. That was on my list of things. Yeah, the meals that are provided. When somebody is needing a hand, meals are provided. Praying for each other. That's awesome. That's so true. Yep. Phil? Yes, and we do, yeah, that's good. Thanks, Phil, that's really good. So these are acts of kindness. I think providing, absolutely, that's good. Thanks, John. That's transporting people to church. That's good. Yeah, well, it's looking good. Absolutely, Colin, and that was definitely on my thing too. You know, and something that we've done, we've only done it this year, is that we've made the coffee corner a koha. You know, so actually now, this is how I feel, anybody who wants a coffee from that corner can have it. It is not dependent on whether you've got the money in your pocket. Isn't that wonderful? That's simple stuff, but it's kindness. Because there's no division, you know. We can all have a coffee there. We can all have a cup of tea here. You can all give. But, you know, we can be kind in those ways. Okay, so if we think about that, what do you think could be things that we could be doing? Is there more that we could be doing? Because, you know, that's something that we probably need to be considering, is that we do this, we do that, but what could we be doing? And that's the thing I want to encourage you, that as we go into this week, what greater, more frequently could you be doing for other people to express the kindness of God? And, you know, I believe our church has got lots of opportunities to express kindness way beyond what we do. Way beyond what we do. And we just need to get creative, don't we? And we need to be in that mindset of, this is a value, this is important, this makes a difference to people's lives. Just as we finish, and I had, you know, a bit of other things to say, but there was something that happened at home this morning. I just can't let it go, actually. One, I was encouraged. My son's not walking with the Lord. When he heard from my daughter-in-law that I was speaking today, he left and he says, go well, Mum. And I thought, oh, that's good, you know. But But you know, when this little fella is opening his presents this morning, he'll be five on Tuesday. He got us a new school bag. Most five-year-olds do, I think. That's probably goes with being five, doesn't it? And he was pretty excited about it. But I said to him, "Oh, that's a very big school bag. Do you think that's going to be too big for your back?" And he looked at me and he went, "No." He says, "Watch and learn." And I can't, it has just sat within me this morning because, you know, and I did sort of touch on it a little bit, just if you can close your eyes for a minute. You know, when I said that I'd lost my husband, I wasn't going to talk about any of that this morning, but I don't know, it's just, that's part of my story, really. And I said, you know, my kids didn't think that was kind. It was just so hard to see their broken hearts. And we were alone with their dad in Palmerston North, no one else around, and it was a precious time, but they were broken. And, you know, they did not feel the kindness of God. And I just wonder if, you know, if anybody here today has experienced something in their life and it's just become like this big thing that just you can't seem to get over, is something that's happened in your life that has sort of made you think that God's not that kind, really. That there's something in your life that just is like a little, it's like a little block that you can't quite get over because you can't quite reconcile that God is just so kind. And I just, you know, that which Phoenix said this morning, watch and learn. You know, just watch and learn. You know, if you start doing the kind things, watch and learn what God will do for you. You know, don't wait until you're healed. Don't wait until you feel content and happy about every kind thing that you do. Just do it anyway. Because in the doing, God does the changing. And it's not just for the person that you are kind to, but there's something that God gives back to you. And, you know, we need to treat ourselves with kindness too. And I was chatting to Ben the other day and I said, you know, sometimes it's hard to be kind to others until you've actually learnt how to be a bit kind to yourself. And I just feel like the Lord this morning just wants to just say to you that, you know, if you just exercise kindness, you're going to see God just break through those areas that have been really hurt and have been wounding to you. And, you know, like I can look back now and I don't understand why, but I tell you what, I have always felt the trust of God. You know, he is an amazing, good, good Father. And he has continued to keep me close to him over all these years. And I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for the testimony of God's goodness in my life, God's kindness in my life. And if I can just exhort you today to just reflect, think about what God has done for you. And if there's something that is like a barb to you and you're saying, "I don't feel that comfortable with it. I feel like God let me down." Just bring it back to him. Maybe you need to talk to someone or pray with someone about it. But just start to break through that down by doing the kind things. And I believe that God will really set you free. And so I thank you this morning for your welcome. I thank you for your hearing of the words of the Lord this morning. And I just want to pray right now that God, Lord, you are the God of kindness. You are the God of goodness. We've been singing so much about your goodness, Lord. Surely your goodness and your mercy, Lord, your kindness will follow us all the days of our lives. Lord, we trust you. We say, God, you are amazing, amazing good God. And I pray that, Lord, you teach us as a church, Lord, how to really function in the power of your Spirit by being people of kindness, that the kindness in this church, Lord God, would go way, way beyond the building, way beyond the city, into all the nations. I thank you. Amen.